John chapter 16, if you have your Bibles, and we'll begin reading here at verse 29. John 16, beginning verse 29. His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We'll take our text today from verses 31 and 32. And the title of my message comes from the words of our Lord right there: "Alone, yet I am not alone. Alone, yet I am not alone." Before we get into the heart of the message, though, I'd like for us to consider some preliminary things that we can glean from this text. I love to study the things that occurred in the life of Christ, and particularly the events that happened up to and including the time when our Lord gave His life for His people on the cross. In this text, we find that there were some men, some individuals, who had been with the Lord some 3 years, thereabouts. They have heard Him preach. They have heard Him teach. They have seen Him do miracles. They've seen Him. They've walked with Him. They've watched Him as He was among the people. And they've seen what He is and who He is. And our Lord looks for faith as a result. "Do ye now believe?" Verse 31. "Do ye now believe?" Sometimes we get a bit like the apostles were. You know, I've said it before, I like to put myself in the shoes or sandals of those who are in these historical narratives and think about what it must have been like and how it must have been. And sometimes I can see myself there. Are we not much different than they? Sometimes we get a bit sure of ourselves, don't we? And that's where they were here at this point. As Jesus had been speaking, and then His disciples said, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." They sounded pretty sure of themselves, didn't they? But why now? Why not a year ago? Why not a year and a half ago? Why not earlier? you go back just a little bit in John chapter 13 to a familiar passage. In John 13, verses 36 through 38, look here what we find. And I say familiar because we often pick on Peter. It says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We like to pick on Peter. Peter was ready, he said, to stand up for Jesus, to even lay down his life for the Lord, to follow him. But as we read there, we know that the Lord knew better, and indeed he did deny him three times, just like it was told. And how is it with us? As we think about this text here in John chapter 16, many of us, like the apostles, we're not new to the truth. We've been students of the Word for years. We've heard countless sermons. We've studied the Word of God plenty of times. We were young when we were first saved, many of us, and now we're older. The truths of God's Word are familiar. Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? How easy it is when things are going good to be like Peter or the other apostles. When things are going good. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Begin verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. Of course, he's talking about the Old Testament saints, but this is true also for the New Testament. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We read of these fellows. We read of the apostles. We read of the of Peter particularly, and we see what they did and how they did it. And we're quick to pick on them and to say, well, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have forsook the Lord. I wouldn't have left. I wouldn't have denied the Lord. But the reality is we very well could have. And so we must tread very, very, very carefully there. It's easy to talk of faith when things are going good. And we've had it good in this country, haven't we? We've had it very good. And I thank God for the good years. But I wonder how many good years we've got left. Yeah, we grumble and complain over a bit of inflation. And yeah, it's bad, but it's only a bit. We've not reached hyperinflation. Do a study on hyperinflation and what that meant to the people of Venezuela sometime. And yeah, it's tough whenever you go to the store and you try to find something you're looking for, because if you're like me, you're chasing sales to try to save money, and you go to the store and it's just not there. But we've not had to eat the family pet yet. And they had to do that in some communist countries in order to survive. Tough times come and our faith gets really put to the test. Let us not be boastful of our faith. Let us be rid of our self-confidence. Let us tremble and realize that the only thing we have to boast of is Jesus Christ and Him alone. If we stand, if we're able to stand on anything, it's only by God's grace. We're no better than Peter. We're no better than those murmuring, complaining Israelites of the Old Testament. If we stand, when we stand, like Daniel or like Caleb, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stand like Paul, it's God's grace. It's God's grace. In the flesh will fail. And that includes the flesh, fleshly self-confidence. And those things are written for our learning. And so we read that and we understand that. Someone says your faith is a crutch. Someone says the Bible is a crutch. Someone says the church, going to church every Sunday, that's a crutch. Well, what's a crutch? I know when I have to use crutches, guess why? It's because my leg's weak and broken, in fact. I can't walk without it. Guess what? I'm thankful for crutches in those times. So if they would accuse me of having God's Word as a crutch, the Lord's church, faith, guilty as charged, because I can't stand up on my own. Praise God for crutches. I'm weak. I need them. But notice our text here. Behold, the hour come. The hour come, rather. Verse 32, there of John 16. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. We would do well to learn from our Lord. He said, the hour's coming. He knew full well that what he was about to go through would be longer than an hour, but he also knew that it was a limited amount of time. What do we do when we go through a trouble or a trial? Oh, it's forever. And that's how we look at things. But our troubles and our trials are not forever. This life is not forever. One of these days, all our troubles, trials, problems, heartaches, all of it will be gone. And forever, we'll be with the Lord. And we'll look back at this, that we think of as being forever, and it'll seem like a few minutes, an hour, just a short time. Oh, that we would look at it, going into it, like He did. He knew. We don't know, but we must realize that no matter how long it is, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. The hour cometh. The hour cometh. Where is our faith when trouble comes? Some unforeseen issue arises. An idle word from an unbeliever. Some troubling thought from the tongue of a troublemaker. And where is your faith? Where's my faith? These fellows spoke pretty high and mighty right here. But Jesus said, "The hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." Where were they? It's a sad thing when you see mighty men fall. In a battle, if the general falls, if the guy that carries the flag, the one who's carrying the banner, if he falls, the rest of the soldiers get pretty upset at that sort of thing. Other men may fall, and that is also troublesome. But when someone like that falls, that's a big deal. They looked up to that person. They were looking for courage from that person. And here they are. They've fallen in the battle. During the war between the states, Lee lost many, many people. But it really hurt him whenever Stonewall Jackson died. We see this, and we see how this goes sometimes. And we realize that sometimes even in our own lives we've seen it too. Jesus said, "You're going to leave me. You're going to leave me." Just summing it up in modern language. You're going to leave me. You're going to go home. And I'm going to be left alone. I'm going to be left to face this all by myself. In my hour of need. We live in a spiritual battlefield. And sometimes we see that happen, don't we? When the battle gets tough, we've seen men that have fallen. Sometimes they've fallen because of compromise. They've fallen because of error. Sometimes they've wavered because of emotion. Whatever the case may be, we see that happen. We see that happen. Even with some of our friends. Folks we thought that would be there with us. Folks like these, who in private said, "Lord, I'll be there." Said to Jesus, "Lord, I'll be there. I'll be there with you. I'll die for you. If it comes down to it." But then whenever the rubber met the road, when things got really heated, not only was he distant, but he denied the Lord. He was left alone. Now you and I, we may find ourselves left alone too. Different situations. Similarly, but different situations. You and I, we may not be on any mock trial like Jesus was facing. You may not face the mobs like our Lord was about to. You may not be betrayed by Judas like Jesus was about to. You may not be executed on a Roman cross like our Lord. However, you will find yourself at some point in your life having to take a stand on something. It may be something having to do with your family. It may have something to do with the Lord's church. It may have something to... I mean, the sky's the limit as far as that goes. But when you're standing on the Word of God, you may find yourself standing alone. You look around, and those who are closest to you aren't there. Where'd they go? Where are they? Where are they? And it hurts. Because regardless of what your issue is, whether it's trouble in your family, a stand that you've taken on the Word of God, something going on in the church, or some other issue, no matter how big or how small it really is, at that point in time, it's big to you because you had to take a stand for it. And you expected others to stand with you. But they didn't. They didn't. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes in those instances, you may think that this is the first time that it's ever happened. Also, you will think to yourself that these people who left were friends. That's why you're disappointed. Had you known or thought that they were hypocrites or that they were double-minded or that they had something else to do, you wouldn't be hurt about it. But you expected that they would be there for you. They're not. And too often we take it personal. But we learn from our Lord that He didn't take it personal. Praise the Lord for that, right? He didn't take it personal. These folks, these 12, 11, if you take Judas out of the picture, were His closest friends on earth. Some of them being closer than others. You read through the Gospels. And if I were to say, if I were to say to my kids, write me a report about the 12 apostles. There's some apostles that there's a whole lot of information about in the Gospels. But there's some of the apostles, you can't hardly find anything written about them. Why? Because some of those apostles were in His inner circle. And some of them, they were there, but there's not a whole lot written about them. But don't take it personal. I'll tell you why. Because our Lord didn't, number one. But number two, here's the perfect man, the sinless man, and he's left alone. He's left alone. By who? Now we would expect the 5,000 that were fed and some of those who were healed who'd been sick and those sorts of things. We would expect them, but we're talking about those closest to him. Sure, we pick Peter out of the group because he denied the Lord. We pick Judas out of the group for betraying him, Thomas for doubting him. But what? Where were the others? Well, in Matthew 26, sometimes we miss some things there. In Matthew chapter 26, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. We sometimes pick Peter out of that, but keep in mind, Jesus said, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. All of them. What is it that people do with something that they're offended? You're walking down the street, and there's a group of homeless people. They haven't bathed or showered. They're living in tents. The smell is offensive. What do? Most people walk on the other side of the street, away from them, you see. Jesus said there in our text, ye shall be scattered, every man to his own shall leave me alone. Scattered. Every man to his own house, his own safety. What was going through their mind that day? What was going through their thoughts? Well, their thoughts weren't on the words of the Lord, were they? Their thoughts were on themselves. Though they had pledged just a few hours earlier to stand and to even die with him, they left. And so it is with every bold defender of the faith. Do not expect that men will stand with you when you're called upon to take a stand for the truth. Very few will. An article came across my desk the other day. Reasons not to get into the ministry. And one of the reasons said something like, don't get into the ministry because you're a people person. This people will fail. Only Jesus will carry you through the good times and the hard times. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Can you imagine how this whole scenario would have looked if Jesus would have taken a poll? He said, all right, let's look around I got a decision to make. I'm up here on the cross. Who's here with me? Who's really standing with me? And if you would have taken a poll to see who was standing with him on whether or not to continue to lay down his life or to call the whole thing off, because keep in mind, he's God of heaven. He didn't have to die that day. But he did. Because in another sense, he did have to die, because he had come to do his Father's will. You see, he wasn't about the numbers. He wasn't about the being a man pleaser. He wasn't about to check to see who was going to stand and who wasn't. He knew. And praise the Lord, he died for them too. In Hebrews chapter 4, I love this. Verses 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, our great high priest, he sympathizes with us. He knows what we're going through. When we're in these times that we must take a stand for the truth, then nobody seems to stand with us. Praise the Lord for those things. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at Paul whenever he got to the end of his life. And think about all the great things that the Apostle Paul had done for the cause of Christ and for churches and for people. But by the end of his life, look what he wrote. In 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 9, it says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me," he wrote to Timothy there. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." What a grand testimony that he had. And it's a fact, as I preached from this not too long ago, not everyone will be a missionary or a preacher in the same sense as Paul, but we will all be something in this life. There are many names mentioned, especially in this epistle to Timothy, as I think about it. You know, if you can't be a Paul, perhaps you can be a Timothy. Perhaps you can be someone that can be a help to a missionary and preacher. But don't be a Demas. Don't be an Alexander. Our names and our actions won't ever be recorded in the New Testament. Praise the Lord for that. But God is paying attention. He knows where we stand. And we will stand before the Lord someday. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians 1 and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, Jesus didn't look out to see who was happy with what he was doing or not. He just knew he needed to do it because that's what he'd come for. Paul, the same way. And go through history and you find men and women. Yea, even no doubt this church. We've taken stands. You've taken stands. Sometimes not popular, but yet stands on the Word of God. I praise the Lord for friendships and fellowships, families, and all of those things. But there is something greater, something far greater than all of those things. And that is pleasing the Lord. Jesus knew it. Paul knew it. Daniel. Others throughout history. Thank God for those things. Which brings me to my next point. Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Peter, James, John, Thomas, all the others. These men, no doubt were great men and had done some great things and would do some great things in the Lord and in the service of the Lord. But they were not dependable in our Lord's greatest hour of need. By all appearances, Jesus, our Savior, was left alone. None of the apostles were there. And even when we think about this, in that time, he had great confidence that the Father would be with him. And you and I, whenever we have great problems in our lives, when we have great issues, great things that we've got to stand on, we can also take confidence in that as well. We can grab hold of this and run with it, just like our Lord did. Our friends may disappoint us. They may leave us. We may have some brethren that disappoint or leave us. I had this preacher friend up north when I first was called to preach. Man, he was a great help to me. And I thought that he would be a fantastic mentor to me. But then he went off. He went way off. Last I heard, he was Presbyterian. Disappointment. But we're never alone as long as the Lord is with us. And the Lord is with us, standing with us, as long as we're standing on the Word of God. You see, Jesus knew it. Paul knew it. Even there in 2 Timothy where we read a while ago. What great encouragement this is to those of us who stand on God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Or verse 16, rather, 16, 17, and 18. Says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He didn't go down, Paul didn't, as a depressed man, thinking, oh, everybody's left me and here I am imprisoned and nobody's here to stand with me. He didn't even go down as a bitter man. We've got to be careful of that too, because sometimes when friends or family or other churches or whatever, when they disappoint, sometimes we can get bitter, but we can't let that happen either. You see, Paul did what needed to be done in the service of the Lord. He prayed for those who forsook him. It's hard to be bitter against somebody when you're praying for them. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. And he gained his strength knowing that the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. When it comes to the Lord and the crucifixion even, some folks will say, well, wait a minute, what about for those 3 hours? Remember, over there in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verses 33 and 34. Sorry, that's not the passage I was looking for. However, give me just a moment and I'll be there. How about Matthew chapter 27? Verses 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus had just said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now there he is on the cross, just as he said. He'd been left alone, humanly speaking, to die on the cross. Darkness fell upon the earth. Pitch black darkness. You want to get to the feeling of being alone, be in darkness like that. And Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is there a contradiction? I don't believe there is. You see, in no place, at no time, did Jesus ever lay down his deity. But while he was on the cross, something happened. I believe God forsook him in his official capacity as lawgiver and executive of the law. Forsook him in the sense of the fact that our sins were placed upon him. And he was bearing the weight, the punishment that you and I deserve, present. But his personal relationship, hear me now, his personal relationship, in that personal relationship, Jesus was never forsaken. Jesus knew that the Father was with him, even though he felt in that instance, during that time, in another sense, forsaken. Look at it this way. You and I, we may be in some tough situation in our life. Maybe it's some sickness, some problem, some disease. I mean, talk about all your friends, loved ones leaving you. Just say you've got COVID and everybody's going. Nobody wants to be around you. Right? And if you get a bad case of COVID, you really feel forsaken. And you can feel the hand. I mean, it just feels like the frown of God is upon you because of the pain and the distress and all. I mean, you wake up weaker than you've ever woke up, and more pain than what you've ever felt and all that sort of thing. You sure don't feel the smile of God in those cloudy days, do you? But know this. Even though you don't sense His smile or you don't feel His presence in those gloomy days of your trial, know that God is there. That you've not been forsaken. He is there. You may be alone. Everyone's forsook you because no one else wants to catch it. And that can happen with any trial. Though we be poor, slandered, persecuted, despised, or whatever else, know that God is there. We can have confidence as long as we're standing in God's Word, we're living right, we're doing the things that He's called us to do. Same as what Jesus did when He said, there in our text, alone, and yet I am not alone. Knowing that no one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. You see, like the way Paul put it. Have confidence in Him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, sometimes we look at things all wrong. You see, we count things from a worm's viewpoint when we ought to look at things from God's viewpoint. You see, we look around us and we say, oh, we're in the minority. We're in the minority in this world. We're in the minority on this issue or that issue. We're in the minority on this thing or that thing. We're in the minority. We're by ourselves. We're all alone. Woe is me. Don't be like the world. They move from group to group, always trying to find the majority on things. That won't get you anywhere. But I'll tell you where we need to stand. We need to stand with Christ. Stand on the Word of God. Because when we're with the Lord, if God be for us, who can be against us? We're always in the majority, regardless of the way it looks. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's not simply that God's not against us, but God is for us. Let others go their own way, do their own thing. The world, they're always going to be changing. But let us stand consistently on the Word of God. And as we kind of bring this to a close, in John chapter 16, John 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus has just told them. You know, when I think about this, what it must have been like to stand there and to be on fire for the Lord. You know, wow, here we are. You've spoken to us plainly. We know, we're sure that you know all things. Need us not any man should ask thee. We believe that thou camest forth from God. And then Jesus kind of burst their bubble, didn't he? He said, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, it is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. Shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I'm not so sure that they understood all this until later. But what great encouragement it is to know and to realize the same thing that we've been preaching, same thing we've been talking about. You see, what he was about to do on the cross, his death on the cross, didn't hinge on what they did. It didn't hinge on whether they were faithful to do what they said. It didn't hinge on whether or not they were going to be there or not. Whether they would stand with him. Whether they were going to follow through. Because the reality is that though it looked like he was going to be left alone, he wasn't alone. And reading into it, this was something that him and his father had decided and planned long before there was ever a Peter, a James, a John, a you or me. We have peace in that. We have peace in that. Oh, we would mess it up. They would have messed it up. These apostles. But we can rest knowing that our Lord is with us. And our Lord will continue to keep His word, same as what He always has. He is faithful all the way through. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He was there on that cross alone, yet not alone. And praise the Lord, sometimes that's the way it looks for us. We live in this world, Christianity, the things of this Bible, not popular at all. Sometimes it seems like we stand alone, but we're not. God's with us. May He give us the courage to continue to stand, regardless of what happens. Brother Barry, would you please pray for us?